like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm back with a band that is on the show for the third time, which is always cool. It's always fun to see sort of how things have progressed over the course of doing multiple episodes with the same people. And this one I think is particularly interesting because I feel like over the past two episodes, we've talked about this album that was coming out shortly, coming out imminently, and now like a year and a bit later or whatever, now it's actually coming out. So I think the best way to start this off is if the four of you want to introduce yourselves, give a bit of background on the band, and we'll sort of launch right into what is happening now with you guys. So whoever wants to go first.
All right. I'm Travis. I'm a lead guitar player. Do some vocals on the band.
And I'm Jay. I'm acoustic and lead vocals. And that's it.
I'll go next.
Whoever wants to go next. Yeah, it's kind of hard when you got a screen full of people, right? But go ahead.
I'm Ryan. I'm the drummer, and I do backup vocals here and there too.
Cool.
And I'm Terry. I do bass and business management.
Right on.
My God. Promotion and this and that. Like, you wear about 12 hats, man.
So as I mentioned right in the intro there, I mean, we've been talking about this music you guys have been working on for a while now over the course of multiple episodes. And now you're finally kind of the finish line. At the time of recording this is very much in sight. You got this stuff done. What can you tell me about this record that we haven't talked about before? Because now it's actually a real thing, right? I mean, I know there was sort of a lot of ambition in the previous conversations we had, and because people maybe haven't heard those yet, you know, prior to listening to this one, what can you tell me about the album and what people should expect from it?
You go ahead, Jay.
The album's 3 days away, so it feels like a long time coming. As you said, this thing feels like it's been in the can for almost a year because it's pretty close to that. I think we recorded this in October last year. So what people can expect from it? Well, we have released quite a few of the singles. So I think you can see the number of influences that happen throughout those songs alone, let alone the entire record. We're just pulling from all of our genres and all of our musical interests. And we meld it together in this one album. And I don't know if we have any songs on there that sound the same. Like, we have blues songs. We have like a little punky acoustic song. It's just we're kind of all over the map. We have a piano ballad, we have a solo song, like a acoustic kind of bass one with some harmonies. It's just pulling from all these influences. I think anyone who wants to listen to the record is going to get a well-balanced almost stream of music that covers many genres, I would say.
Was that always something you were doing deliberately, or is that just how it worked out? Because, I mean, I know, you know, you have obviously multiple different influences coming to each member of the band, but is this something you sort of wanted to do, is to be that diverse on the record?
I don't think we ever sought out doing that purposely. I think it's just kind of, it happens naturally when we bring ideas to the table, and then each one of us get our hands on it, and it just comes out in a way. Like, Travel put his kind of blues style to it, and I'll bring my 90s kind of style, and Ryan's like a 90s kind of punk guy with his drums, and Terry brings his groove. So it all just melds together into one song. And I think we just pull from all these influences, and it melds together really nicely. And it's something that we definitely didn't expect to happen. It kind of did organically.
And yeah. This is a debut record, which seems weird because of how long you guys have been at this. I mean, you've been, you know, a lot of these songs, I'm sure, go back to sort of the early days of you being a group in the first place. So how, I'm sure you're happy with the finished product and how it sounds on the recordings, but how much would you say some of these songs have changed over the course of time? Because it's been a while since you've been sort of working on a lot of these, I imagine.
We did a lot of work, I think, before we even went into the studio. I think they were all pretty well established well before we went into the studio. And I would say the biggest change since we did the recording is that we no longer have a regular keyboardist. So we've adapted to having that part gone. And I think we've adapted pretty well. And I don't know, you got anything to add there, Travis?
Yeah, no, that's right. We're down to a four piece, and occasionally we'll have someone maybe join us to do a little bit of keys upcoming. But yeah, the songs were pretty much set. I think the biggest change now is all the other stuff we have in the pipeline coming. We've got, since we've recorded that, which was over a year ago, now we got a whole bunch of new ideas, again, ranging from everything from blues to rock to a little bit of folk and roots and that stuff in it. So, you know, as I think I said, when we went into the studio, everything was set. We're pretty happy with the sound, I'm sure. And we did everything off the floor. So, no click track or anything like that. So, there's probably a few small errors in there. But you know, that's kind of what we were after anyways.
That gives a character, right? That's people. I definitely prefer listening to music that has, not that has errors, but that has that kind of naturalism to it, right? Where you can tell that someone is doing
this.
There
might be a little ebb and flow in speed and that kind of stuff, right? So,
yeah.
So it's good.
While you guys are talking, I think the only change that I can recall off the top of my head is in a song called Deep Undercover. We never had an outro solo, and we loved Travis's solo so much during the middle of it, we decided to put it on the end of the song. So when we play that song live now, it has the outro solo at the end, and I think we all kind of agreed that if we were to record that again, we'd probably put that outro solo into it. But I think that's really the only thing that's changed from the start of making this record.
Well, one thing that's come up a lot, regardless of who I'm talking to, I mean, a lot of people do spend the same amount of time you have on putting a record together. You know, it's a slow process. So some bands will bang it out in an hour, or other ones will take months or years. You know, now that this is coming out, obviously these songs are songs you want people to hear. You're going to be playing them live a lot. You already are playing them live. But do you feel like, do these songs feel old to you? I mean, now that they're sort of, do they feel like they're done, I guess is maybe a better question. Are you able to put them to bed? I know you have to play them now because this is what everyone's going to hear on the record, but do you feel like the band has shifted or progressed or changed sort of beyond this already? And what people are hearing on the record is sort of this phase of the band and you've already gone on to something else, or is it more of a continuum?
No.
You know what Ryan has to say about that?
We've played these songs quite a bit and it's just kind of tightened them up quite a bit, but they haven't really really changed that much. It's just really solid, and we're playing them as we played them on the record too. So that was the whole point, playing it live off the floor, was to get the live feel of these songs. And we practice a lot. We're playing a lot of shows this summer and stuff. So we played Ideas of Good Life like a lot.
Keep up with it though, people.
But it was still fun. It's still fun to play, and it's just like Terry looks at me when we're hitting the shots on it, and every time, pretty much. And it's like it's still fun to play.
Yeah, I don't think any of these songs are like this record's really new, even just for us. And we haven't really been playing original music like this that many times per year. Like this year has been a very busy year for us. We're playing these songs a lot more, but when we're getting to play all of our own stuff in front of people, it's super exciting still, no matter how many times we play it. So I can't speak for a band that plays every other night or every night and just has to hammer out these songs over and over. But for us, it's fantastic having a new set of ears on these songs all the time and people coming up after, and they like different songs for different reasons. So all the new stuff we have coming out, I'm pretty sure it's following a similar line to what we have on the record as it is. But again, we've been practicing these songs so much, just preparing for shows, that we really haven't got a chance to dive into all these new ones that we have waiting in the tank. And there's probably about 7 to 10 of them, if I were to guess off the top of my head.
At least, yeah.
There's 4 or 5 of them that we've been playing live already. And I think we're more of a band that likes to battle test our music before we walk into a recording studio. You know, I think most of our songs we'd been playing for a while before we ever walked into the studio, and we were pretty sure of what we were going to be doing.
I thought you did it for love. I searched the corners of your mind. It's where you like to run and hide. The blind's leading the blind. It's dark and you turn on a light. You take me to task and take me to bed, not knowing that there's nothing unsaid. At night you go deep undercover, out of my mind and over my head. Heading for that door, one that says skeleton store. Time for them to see the light. If nothing more than to free your mind, jumping on a train, the one that's heading for a change. You take me to task and take me.
Mentioned earlier that the you know, this summer's been busy. I mean, you know, I saw you play a show this summer. You've been, obviously, I'm seeing your name show up all over the place, and, you know, show listings and posters online and elsewhere and everything else. What's happened with this? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of momentum going on, and is that something that you're deliberately doing to sort of coincide with the album coming out, or is it just worked out where a lot of shows are being sort of thrown your way over the past few months? Is it a concerted effort to sort of like turn your...
We'll give that to Terry.
I kept on trolling for all kinds of shows, and I'd just go, "Hey guys, do you want to play another one?" And they go, "Yeah, okay." But we really kind of lucked out. We had a couple of festivals. We went up to Red Lake, Ontario, and played 2 days there. I don't know. It's just been a very lucky summer for us, getting a lot of really good gigs, and we released six songs as singles over the period of time since January, and they've been getting
pretty good traction. Like, we have one song that we released only 2 months ago, Muddy Waters, that's already almost at 2,000 Spotify listens, which is pretty incredible, you know. And we've really grown our Spotify group. But I think getting in front of people and playing, we're getting a little more excitement. We're getting some people that are following us that and coming to our shows that are singing along to some of our songs, you know, and that just kind of reinvigorates us wanting to play them. And the new stuff we got coming, one of our hardest things to do is when we do a 45-minute set, we already have like an hour and a half worth of originals. So we have to figure out what we're going to cut. That's usually the hardest part.
Well, and I guess the live reaction is more valuable anyway than the, you know, 11 cents you get from 2,000 Spotify plays or whatever it is, right?
11 cents?
Wow. It might be a high estimate.
Yeah, that might have been my total Spotify dividends I earned last year, right? So about 11 cents.
For sure. Does this, obviously things are going well. I mean, you have the record, like you said, you're playing festivals, you're getting a lot of shows, you're getting people, you know, listening to the singles. People are obviously liking what they're hearing. Does this change sort of what your goal is as a band? Because I feel like when we first talked a few years ago, it was definitely more of a, we're just doing this for fun. And you all got together, you're playing covers, then you started doing originals. And it seemed very much, very casual. Has it become more, have you had to change how you look at the band now that there is momentum, now that things are sort of really happening for you?
I think that we're definitely more serious about it, and we're definitely striving to get ourselves in front of more people all the time. So it's very rare now where we're going to pass up a show. Like, we want to play as much as possible. We're having a blast doing, like, I can't really speak for the rest of the guys, but I think we're having so much fun out there, and it's just, I think it's really transcending to the audience, and they can show kind of the passion that we put behind it. And I think it's just growing every time we get a chance to play with each other on stage. And like, Trav is getting the guitar face on the go now, and I'm loving it.
It's true.
Yeah, we just seem to be having so much fun, and it just keeps growing all the time we're out there, and just the comfort factor of being on stage together, it just keeps increasing. So it makes me personally want to do it more and more all the time. So yeah. And I thank Terry all the time for finding all these shows, because he's definitely the guy to put us on stage all the time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's good to hear. Yeah. Is it, what is sort of the plan now? I mean, I know you know, at the time of recording this, the album's a few days away, you have shows coming up, you have a lot of things on the go, but what do you hope to achieve with this record? Because I mean, it is, you know, it is a debut album. It sort of can serve as a calling card for you guys as far as, you know, this is, I know you have the singles, but this is sort of a full piece of music, not a piece, but a collection of music that can sort of really show what you can do. Where do you hope to go with it from here? Is it just to sort of keep playing as many shows as you can and then, you know, eventually move into recording the next stuff, or do you have other ideas?
I think that we haven't really sat down and really nailed down exactly where we're going, but I think in general, the concepts, and you guys can sort of jump in here, but we are already talking about, we want to get in the studio and record these next group of songs. We're going to kind of take a little bit of a hiatus and we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to develop an acoustic version of a lot of these songs to play, because we're going to be doing a Trans-Canada Brewery on October 28th for Leftovers Foundation. So We're looking to do that as acoustic. So we're going to kind of branch out there, but we also want to take that time to really develop the other music. And I mean, Ryan, he's our newest member, but we just, his song that he brought to us and we built, it's amazing. I think it's gonna be big.
And just to touch on the acoustic thing, I'm a very heavy hitting drummer, so that's gonna be something for me. I don't know what I've been directed to that show. I was like, okay, I haven't figured this out still yet, but. After Saturday, after the album release here, we'll have a little more time to kind of work that show out. So I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah, we spent the summer, as I said, playing art songs. But then we had a quick gig at the King's Head, where we had to put together a whole bunch of covers and stuff. So we haven't had as much time to dedicate to our uh, to our original music over the last couple of weeks because we've been busy playing.
Yeah.
And then having to figure out all these covers for three sets for a night. But yeah, I think going forward, that would be the hope, is to really solidify the stuff that we'd like to put on the next album. If we can find some gigs, maybe even expand it outside city limits somewhere out west, because you can only play so many times within the same city, and then it's like, you know, it gets a little old for other people. You kind of lose opportunity with audience, I think.
Yeah, even the people who want to come see you and know that and sing along to the songs and everything, but they're hearing the same set, you know, every month or so, or even more often than that, it's gonna get old. Yeah. The acoustic stuff, does it require a pretty serious reworking of the songs? I know you have an acoustic guitar, you know, in most of your songs anyway, but for the rest of the band, is there a lot of changes to those songs to make them work acoustically, or is it essentially just playing them as is, just a little bit more mellow?
Well, I think we'll definitely make some changes to it, certainly from the electric guitar standpoint. And then the drumming, the rhythm, we're not even sure what that's going to look like exactly yet. Because like as Brian said, he's a very heavy hitter. They're very melodic in the work that he does. So yeah, it's going to take some time. And we've done a couple of them acoustically before.
But no, with a drummer.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's yet to be seen how it's going to sound. So that's probably, as I said, over the next month, probably there's going to be some time.
Yeah, I think the drums are going to be the biggest change, but I don't think it's going to be a huge departure from the way it sounds. It is like, you're definitely going to recognize the song for sure, but drums will just be a different animal for sure. But I'm pretty excited to try and put these things together acoustically and just see how it sounds and see if we can actually quiet it down for once, which is hard for us.
Type situation too. Where I could still be on electric guitar, but just clean guitar, you know, and then maybe not as much, like still leave the strumming to Jay. It's just, as I said, it's all yet to be seen. We'll try out a few things and see how it sounds.
You know, something I wanted to add, Sam, in our experience, because you were asking about how things have been going. And I think one of the big things, and I don't know, you guys can chime in on this. We've really met a lot of people in the music community in Winnipeg over this last year. And different bands and I mean, guys like Valley Narrow and Ledwin and Northern Royals and Penny Sleeve, and I could go on and on with these bands that we
even got them Ditch, with like the guys in Ditch have been like really supportive, like I echo exactly what Terry's saying. Like, I've never thought I would meet this many people in the Manitoba music scene just from all being in the same place at the same time and trying to have the same goals. And it's been fantastic meeting all these bands and all these people and getting to play shows with bands that you probably would never have even heard of, let alone seen before. And it's been phenomenal. I think that is one of my favorite parts over the last year of playing all these shows and just meeting all these guys and girls from different bands and acts and seeing them live and just seeing their passion. It's been an unreal year. So I hope it just keeps going up and up and we get to see more and more and play more and more is what I'm hoping for.
How has it been, you know, talking about some of those bands? A lot of them are significantly younger than you. They're coming from different influences, different backgrounds. Obviously, sonically, there's connections for sure with a lot of those artists you named that would make sense to have you on the same bill. But has it been easy to sort of integrate within that scene where, you know, some of these people might be in their early 20s, you know, some of these bands and their life experience, their musical experience, it's all, you're coming from different angles. Has it been pretty supportive and welcoming?
Incredibly.
Very. Yeah. Extremely. Like one of the bands we got to play Ledwin's EP release party, and they had asked us to play with them. And I'd say we're a pretty different band than those guys and a lot younger as well, but the chemistry and the camaraderie that we have with those guys, it's awesome. And it's very cool to share our music and they get to share their music with us and it just blends so nicely and we could play the same bill, no problem. And we love those guys. Like it's just, like I said, it's been incredible meeting all these people and the support that we're getting and that we're giving everyone. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's very different for sure. The other bands come with a more defined sound. You know, Ledwin's a hard rock band. They're not straying from any of that. And some of the other, like Valley Nero, they're a heavy band. We just come from a very different experience in that their livelihoods might depend on becoming, you know, their future livelihood depends on this music that they're doing. And we don't quite have that pressure. That can be a bad thing or a good thing. But I think it's an okay thing for us. We don't have that the pressures that some other the younger bands have, but they have been fantastic. They're fun to hang around with, and they've been super supportive of the music we play too.
It sounds like you've sort of found your niche within the local music scene. I mean, I know there's so many genres represented in Winnipeg, but and they don't have to necessarily be playing the same stuff as you, but it does sound like you've sort of found a spot where you can potentially share audiences with other bands that would appreciate what you're putting on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the old one-hour drummer.
The songs that we have too, like we can play with a Ledwin and Exo Murta, and we can play maybe a more energetic or heavier set with those guys and still like fill the bill like really good.
Yeah.
And then we can go to like acoustic thing and like we can play a lot of our lighter songs and stuff at other times. So we have this very huge dynamic range we can kind of flex at and play with these younger bands that are heavier and play like lighter, even acoustic stuff coming up too. So that's really, really flexible in what we can do here with a bunch of our songs.
Yeah, we can customize a set list based upon who we're playing with. Yeah.
Is bad. It's been a long cold winter on the River Red, yeah. They went a blizzard, yeah, Colorado low, rolls across the open prairies and dumps 2 feet of snow. You better lay those sandbags down. Lift the floodgates up or we're going down. Lay those sandbags down, yeah, lift the floodgates up. Pray the levees hold or we're going down. We're all going down. Hey, those muddy waters trying to bring us down. Stay away from the river. Spring morning, about 100 miles south, Grand Forks goes under. Yeah, the river just swallowed him up. Now it's crossing the border. The interstate's closed. They got choppers in the valley. Yeah, soldiers in boats. You better lay those sandbags down. Yeah, lift the floodgates up, or we're going.
Do you feel pressure to play heavier if you're with a heavier band on the bill? Like, is there some kind of like a subconscious, like, okay, we got to turn up the distortion here?
Yeah. I'll definitely play a lot louder and I'll speed things up.
We'll probably play our rockier songs just to kind of fit in a little bit more. Like, we're not going to do an acoustic kind of a mellower set when we're trying to get the crowd energized or yeah, keep the momentum or the hype up. Then yeah, we're going to play some catchier stuff, but I think we would almost do that anyway. Right. with the longer show that we have coming up at the High and Lonesome here in a couple of days. I think we're playing 18 songs or so, and it's nice because we get to put a bit more ebb and flow into the music instead of just hammering it away. Like there's a couple spots where acoustics kind of come in and then a bit more mellow, and then it ramps back up again, and we just can kind of ride these up and downs, which is going to be really nice as well.
Well, when this, by the time this comes out, that show will have happened. But why that venue? I mean, that venue obviously is a great venue, iconic Winnipeg venue, but it definitely is more associated with other genres. I mean, it's associated with blues, associated with country, bluegrass, all that stuff. I mean, you guys, obviously there's some blues elements to what you do, but you're a rock band more than anything, I would imagine, is how you would define it. So what was the reason behind choosing that venue?
Terry Harris would play.
That's as simple as that, yes.
I talked to these guys about, hey, maybe we should go somewhere else. And they're like, absolutely not. We got to go to the High and Lonesome. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're going to try and be taken seriously as a musician, I think you also have to think about the venues you're playing and say,
sure,
you know what? Yeah, we can play that. I mean, we played there. We played with Mark Reeves. We played with several different times we played there. And it's always been amazing. And that place is there's a lot of folk and blues, but the night before we're playing Show Ponies there, you can go and see Zrada there.
Totally.
I mean,
yeah, which is very, very different from that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's not really pigeonholed into that, but it is a classic, iconic place, and everybody in Canada knows the times.
For sure.
Cheers.
Yeah.
So again, the record will be out by the time people hear this. So how can someone find the album? I mean, I know there's 600 billion ways people listen to music in 2025. Where would you direct someone if they wanted to check out the record?
So we're going to have the, because we are doing vinyl, right? So it'll be available at Into the Music and Dooley's Records and McNally Robinson.
Cool.
And from the band. We haven't got our actual full vinyls yet, production problem issue. So we're not going to have them for our show, but we do have our 45s.
Cool.
And we'll have those for sale at our app. And we also have, our CDs. So, you know, we're big on the physical media, but you will be getting a copy of that album as soon as it comes out.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to bug you for one otherwise, but yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure we talked about this before, but I'm very glad to see that you guys are doing the physical media thing, because, you know, there's still a lot of people, I'm one of them, who, you know, really appreciate getting actual albums from local bands. We, you know, vinyl is obviously amazing. Even CD and tape, though, it's great to have people still putting out physical stuff. So yeah, kudos for that. And then I imagine you're on all the streaming services and whatnot as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. YouTube and Apple Music, Spotify. Even check out our website. That'll have all the links to all these things as well. And we're, I think, on everything that we can possibly be on, right, Terry?
Yeah, it's a unique enough name that if you type in Car 287, you're only going to see our stuff.
Yeah, that's good, is it?
It's and we're on just about every streaming service. So, and we've been doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah, for sure. So if, yeah. I mean, you know, someone hears this a year from now, a month from now, whenever it is that someone actually tunes into this, being a podcast that kind of floats around the internet forever, what's the best way to find out what you're up to at the time someone hears this? I mean, if someone hears this, you know, next summer, where can they go to find out what shows you have happening and things
I
like
would
that?
Say car287.com.
Cool. And then you're on various social media as well, which I'm sure you can get to from that website.
Instagram and Facebook. Yeah. And we got a link tree that shows you everything.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll just share with you one more thing before you go.
Sure.
We've gotten a few reviews from our album, so because we submitted them to several different things. And my favorite line was when they basically said our album was imperfectly perfect.
And you take that as a positive, I assume, eh?
Oh, absolutely. And what they were talking about is those little imperfections, because they know that we did it live off the floor. So it's...
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Derek Benjamin, by the way, Derek Benjamin from Private Ear did an amazing job. He's he recorded, mastered, mixed everything, and man, he's amazing. Kudos to him.
Right on.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
set up the lights, told her to pose. Dirty old alley, latest trendy new clothes, hidden in the shadows. Watched his time-worn eyes arising from squalor, the garbage and flies. Can you take my picture so they know that I'm alive? Please take my picture. Maybe part of me, maybe part of me will survive. Last time they took my picture, I was in school. Dropped out and ran away. Boy, I was a fool. He said, when I'm gone, no one will shed a tear. But maybe this picture will prove I was here. Can you take my picture so they know that? One more street life tragedy, yeah. Can you take my picture so they know that I'm alive? Please take my picture so the part of me, maybe 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 part of me will survive. Looking through the lens, a life story revealed.